Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Father Tom McGettrick, who is a member of the St. John Vianney Residence for Priests Committee. Thank you so much for being with us today, Father Tom.
You're welcome, Margaret.
Today we're going to talk about the up-and-coming St. John Vianney Residence for Priests. So let's go ahead and get started, Father. I wanted, though, to get to know you a bit better. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Well, as you know from my speech, I'm from Ireland, and I came to the Diocese of Corpus Christi 57 years ago.
Wow.
And I have served in about 12 parishes. And also when we had a mission in Mexico, I was there for 3 years. And I'm one of 15 children.
That's amazing.
In this day and age, but when I was growing up, it was not unusual for families to have 10, 12, 15
wow.
children, some even a little more. But anyhow, I went to the seminary in Ireland, and Bishop Garriga sent one of the priests, Monsignor Kinloch, to visit the Irish seminaries to recruit. And I was one of about, I think, 24 or 25 priests that he recruited for the diocese. Most are now either deceased or retired, but there are a few, about three left. And so after hearing the talk from Monsignor Kinloch, I felt this is where God wanted me to be, and I have never regretted it. When I came to the diocese first, this whole area of South Texas was part of Corpus Christi. So I spent my first 5 years in McAllen, which is now in the Diocese of Brownsville. And then I went to Laredo, which is now in the Diocese of Laredo. So I have been served in all of these three dioceses.
So that was a large area at that time. And you said you served at 12 different parishes?
Yes, altogether.
Well, we're going to talk about the residence, the St. John Vianney Residence for Priests. But I'd really like to talk, though, about the life of a priest, how priests are just so important to the life of the faithful, how you all are there through our baptisms, through our deaths, through our marriages, through our all of the sacraments. And I want to really just highlight the importance of priests. So can you share with me, just in your experience in being a priest and working with priests, how they're so invaluable?
Depends on who you talk to.
Let's keep it positive here, Father.
Well, I think there's nothing like the priesthood, because what greater privilege than to be called by the Lord to carry on his work? And I believe the essence of how a priest should function is contained in the two little booklets I wrote, A Chat with Jesus. The first one is Jesus. It's an imaginary discussion with Jesus like we're having now, where in the first book, Jesus is explaining why he loves us. And I think that's the role of the priest, to convince people that God loves them. It doesn't matter how bad they may be at times or how weak they may think they are. The one constant thing is that God loves them. And so I'm very excited about Pope Francis, because I won't say he's neglecting rules and regulations and things like that, but he he's getting down to being like Jesus was, to be caring and loving and forgiving and understanding. And that's what the priest must be.
And he's really down to earth, and you can see his humility.
Very much so. Every time I've gone into a parish, I've only made one promise, which was more a prayer to the Lord, that I would never get angry with anybody.
I like that. Yeah. How did that work?
It worked fine. I never broke that promise. And as a result of it, I've always been happy in all the parishes I've been in. And unless the people are lying, they have been happy with me being there. So it's, no, the priesthood is very exciting. And I would like to think that all of us, bishops and priests, would take on the spirit of Pope Francis and be more humble and
at the service of God. Everybody. And one another.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
Definitely. I had great experiences growing up in my youth group at Our Lady of Guadalupe here in Corpus Christi. The church was our home, and I always wanted to be at church. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be in CCD classes or in the youth ministry program, and I was in love with just being in communion with the people at my parish. And I think that, you know, through religious education, through the priests, through just the various organizations, we want to bring that back to the people. We want to remind them, this is your home. Mm. This is where God wants you. This is where he wants you to learn and love him, learn about and love him. So in your experience then as a priest, and how long did you say you've been ordained?
57 years.
Okay. What would you say are some of the more exciting moments of the priesthood? I mean, they're all exciting, but if there are a few moments that really stood out to you.
Hmm. Well, they're not all exciting.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. I think the greatest moments is when the priest is celebrating with the people, whether at their special moments, whether it's a baptism or a wedding, or even in the sacrament of reconciliation, it can be a very touching experience to see God's grace working in people. And I think another exciting time is celebrating the Eucharist, especially on Sundays when so many people are there. And then all of the things a priest does, a lot of people think that the priest is just sitting around the rectory waiting for someone to call him, but most priests are probably busier than they should be.
I would agree. They're receiving sick calls. They're planning for baptisms. Your schedules are...
And counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the great pieces of advice I got one year. I went to Notre Dame, and the priest who was my spiritual director, he said, you're going to spend a lot of your life in counseling because a lot of people are hurting. And he said, when you're making out your daily schedule, you have to put in a slot of 1 hour with Christ and keep that appointment. And I think that's very important advice. I'm not saying I've always done it. I've tried to do it, but if I were advising priests, that would be one thing to remain prayerful, and because if we don't, then we open up the door to all kinds of unhappiness.
Well, I can imagine the attacks that a spiritual person such as a priest would receive and those challenges. And so then as a priest, would you say that a good amount of your time is in counseling others? Did that remain true? Was that what you did most of the time in addition to everything else?
Well, I think a lot of the counseling I've done is because people were aware that I had a degree in counseling.
Oh, okay.
And would feel that this was a cheap source of getting some guidance. But a lot of the counseling is somewhat indirect. I believe the most important work of the priest, apart from the Eucharist and the sacraments, is going out and visiting the people. There are so many people hurting. I think if any priest just goes door to door, in any 10 families he visits, he will find that probably half of them are hurting. That's a ministry that we are neglecting now. When I was ordained, that was the one thing the pastor insisted on. You're a young priest, come in, get out and visit the people.
Be with the people.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of the ministry is done.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Fashion can be beautiful and modest, as you'll see at the True Radiance Fashion Show at the Borchard Fairgrounds Ballroom on Saturday, August 24th. Young ladies who've been through the Modesty Faith Formation Program, focusing on the true meaning of femininity, virtues, and style, will serve as models and crew for this innovative presentation. It's fun for the whole family. Events include a retreat, meetings, fittings, a Shirley Temple Hour with hors d'oeuvres, followed by the fashion show. This event is sponsored by the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Youth Ministry and the Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity. For complete information, call Amy 693-6657.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm with my guest, Father Tom McGettrick, who is a member of the St. John Vianney Residence for Priests Committee. And with this residence, Father, what is, first of all, I want to know the history of the idea of the residence, what the residence is for, and what the goals of the residence are. So if we can start with the history of the St. John Vianney Residence for Priests.
My recollection, Margaret, is about 15 years ago, a number of older priests were retiring and they didn't seem to have anywhere to go, and they seemed to lose contact with the rest of the presbyterate. And so there was a lot of discussion at that time about the need for a place, a home where priests would have fellow priests as companions. And there were a lot of priests felt that a regular retirement home or nursing home for the laity was not a suitable environment for the priests, that they needed other priests. So my recollection is that Bishop Roberto Gonzalez was positive to the idea, and so a committee was formed, and members of that committee were Monsignor Shirley and Monsignor Meany, Monsignor McGowan, Father Hahn, and myself. And we decided, rather than sit down and start from scratch, to go to San Antonio, where the Archdiocese had just opened the Casa de Padres, and which is a beautiful facility. And we sat down with the priests who were there, and we asked them if they would make any corrections, if they were redesigning it. And they mentioned a couple of things. They weren't particularly important. But
they didn't mention a spa or anything. No.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No. Well, they had a swimming pool in it and an exercise room.
That's good. That's good.
So we came back and went to the architectural firm of a Cotton Landreth, which is now known as CLK. They are designing the present facility. And going on the information we brought to them from San Antonio. They drew up a plan. And then Bishop Roberto was transferred to Puerto Rico, and Bishop Carmody came to the diocese. And Bishop Carmody felt that we should first support Mount Carmel and Villa Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop Grisida had started Villa Maria, and he was very supportive of priests going there.
I see.
And the diocese gave a subsidy to the priests to pay for their rent at that time. But anyhow, during the years when Bishop Carmody was here, the project lay dormant. But then when Bishop Mulphy came, we approached him and found that he was quite interested and even enthusiastic. And he was also quite experienced in a retirement home because Austin had just built one before he came here. So that's how we got to the present point. The bishop was supportive, and the next question was, where will the money come from?
And important question.
Yeah. And that's why the Presbyteral Council and the Finance Committee supported the Legacy of Faith, the Future of Hope. And the St. John Vianney Residence for Priests was a major component of that campaign.
And I do understand that there were some town hall meetings, discussions with the parishioners of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, and they asked him, what do you want? And they wanted for the priests to be taken care of.
Right. That was interesting that came before education or anything for their own kids. So, and I think everybody knew once that information got out that the campaign would be a success, and it was.
So
the only thing we need to do is encourage the people to keep up their commitment, because I think historically many people make pledges and then as time goes on the interest wanes, but
the priests still need their residence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is an encouragement then to those listeners out there who have committed to the Legacy of Faith and Future of Hope, that we're still welcoming the pledges and we're still looking at redeeming those funds. And then if there are people that are listening to us that have never heard of the residence until now, there is still an opportunity to support this residence for priests. So thank you for sharing that. Now, with the residence itself, what is one of the major goals of having priests together in community when they retire?
Well, I think the principal goal is to, first of all, give a priest a wholesome place to live, because as we mentioned earlier, by and large priests are quite busy, and when you suddenly retire and don't have something to do, it can be very challenging. I remember Bishop Grisida once sent me to a program in Florida on retirement, and the only thing I remember about it was one of the speakers said that if people don't have some kind of plans for retirement, they'll die within 2 years.
And statistics show things like that.
Yeah, right. And I think the purpose of this retirement home is to have a wholesome environment where the priests can live and still feel useful. Those who are still healthy enough can go to different parishes and help out at weekends or masses. And then, of course, the ministry of prayer should be very important in a priest's life, especially when he retires, when he has more time. And I think there's more of an encouragement to pray if there are others praying with you.
And in addition to prayer, I must say, when I was a Marianist volunteer at St. Mary's University in San Antonio, we would play bingo. So there was fellowship opportunities amongst themselves, the priests, and amongst the wider community. We would go outside and we would throw the ball around because there were some older priests that needed some help with their agility and movement. So something as simple as that can be just so fulfilling for the volunteer and the priest themselves. And then I would go in and just be with them for 1 hour once a week. And the relationships that you build with the priests who now have some time to, you know, pray and really be fully involved with that one person that comes to visit them once a week. And so it was a great experience. I'm really looking forward to this residence. If you have anything to say about the residence, your hopes for it, your dreams about it, what would you suggest to the listeners out there?
Well, my first hope would be for the priests that they will go there. Because not having had a retirement home in the past, many priests were saving and making preparation for their retirement by buying an apartment or a condo. And
so now you're going to have to encourage them to join you.
Right,
all.
Right. And I think that they will be rewarded because there's no fun living by yourself, whereas there will be companionship in the retirement home. And it's going to be delightful. I mean, I retired this morning, and I'm in ecstasy knowing I don't have to go to any more meetings. I couldn't believe it when Tina called me to come here. And I said, I thought I'd get out of these things.
No more meetings.
No more.
And now, and soon, you will have a place to be in your retirement, a facility to be retired in. When is the completion of this facility?
Only the Lord
Only
knows.
The Lord knows.
We think about November if there are no setbacks from the weather and that. But it's going good. The day we had rain sometime last week, I went out that evening to see if there was much water lying on the place, and there wasn't. So it's very well drained. So it's well designed.
Well, praise God for this residence and for the committee and for your work. And Monsignor and Father, can you please end us with prayer?
Sure. Lord Jesus, we know of the great love you have for all of us, and especially for those who are hurting, and so we pray for them. And we know the special love you have for all your priests, and we ask you to help them, especially those in retirement, to realize that they are still your priests and can still do your will in a very beneficial way. And we pray this through Mary, our mother. Amen.
Amen.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Forgetfulness can be a blessing or a curse. Without the ability to forget, we would quickly go insane. Overwhelmed by the sheer volume of information we would retain from each minute of every day. Imagine remembering everything you experienced today. Unwinding at the end of the day would be unbearable. We would be afraid to ask each other, "How did your day go?" This ability to forget is certainly a blessing. However, there are other forms of forgetting that can be harmful. For example, many house fires start because somebody forgot to put out. For example, many house fires start because someone forgot to put away the iron. When forgetfulness becomes a serious problem, there are usually warning signs, like losing your car keys or forgetting where we parked or the color of the car. Some of these moments of forgetfulness are temporary, while others indicate a need for serious concern. Forgetfulness can intrude into every part of our life. It occurs at work and at home, between workers, and within the family. Too often in marriage, spouses become forgetful, not about the daily things they do, but about the important things in marriage, like the promises they made to each other and God before their family and friends. The following words should be etched upon the hearts of every couple and echo in their memory. Have you come here freely and without reservation to give yourselves to each other? Will you love and honor each other for the rest of your lives? Will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and His church? These words should burn brightly in the hearts of every married couple, lighting their way through the hardships that they will encounter. Have you come here freely, not under pressure, sure that this is what you want to do, and without reservation or hesitation, that there is nothing that will take away your desire to be with this person who will be your spouse? Have you come here freely to give yourselves to each other, to make a complete and total gift of your entire being to this other person, and to receive their gift of self to you? This is a giving that holds nothing back, a giving that is done in love and for love. It is a giving that neither expects or requires anything in return. Couples, remember that you are called to love and honor each other. To love someone means to want only the very best for them. It means that we seek only to build them up and to never tear them down. Honoring calls for us to respect them, to hold them in great esteem, and we are to do this as long as we live. Accepting children lovingly from God implies that children are a gift from God and not a right to be demanded from science or nature. Should God grant us this gift, we have an obligation and responsibility to teach them about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Responding to the Pharisees who were asking about divorce, Jesus said, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh'? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." May your sacred moments be filled with memories that strengthen your calling, and may you know the blessings of God all the days of your life. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank our guest, Father Tom McGettrick, who is a member of the St. John Vianney Residence for Priests Committee. It was just so great to hear about the passion and dedication that they have on building this residence for priests, and we look forward to its completion. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.